of the season. Not like we're not going to see each other. But I know I love fellowship, and I just love you guys. And from sincere of my heart, like, I just love you guys so much. But I'm not going to cry. You guys, I think you all know, but my mom passed Tuesday morning. And so it's been like a very emotional roller coaster, but God just kept telling me, like, just get in my word and just finish the season. Like, I can do all things through him. And so I know for myself, when I am going through something, I feel the Lord's presence even more. And I know you guys all understand that. I'm sure you all have your stories, just different sorrows that you walk through. But it's true. The verses come so much more alive when we're in the midst of stuff. And not that we want those things. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to watch people suffer and lose. We are not meant to see death. We're not meant for that. But that is what we get to face here in this life because of sin. And so when we walk through it, though, he says that he's near to the brokenhearted, and his word just comes alive even more when we're in pain and when we're in sorrow. And so just kind of paralleling 2nd and 3rd John, did you guys get to read it at home? Yes. I love your honesty, Benu. Nope. It's okay. We're going to read it tonight. But just the sweetness of John, who's in his probably 90s when he's writing these epistles, these little letters, and just thinking, my mom was only 72 years old, but just how much in your, you know, as we age, as we get older, writing that letter to someone you love, or writing a letter of encouragement, or just trying to minister to those that are younger than us, because that's what we're all called to. I know I've said that a zillion times, but we're all called to minister to those younger than us, to encourage them, exhort them, train them up in the ways of the Lord, and be an example. And that's John. I kept saying Timothy earlier because of fatigue. But John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, is who everyone believes that wrote these epistles, these little epistles, and also the Gospel of John. But just the heartfelt, you know, picturing the time that John's writing these, and he's like the last disciple that's alive, because they've all been martyred, and he's the last standing that had that touch with Jesus, that walked with Jesus, that smelt Jesus, that had that fellowship with him. And I'm sure he's longing for heaven, and I know we've all walked through that, where we're like, okay, now, Lord? Okay, now? Okay, now? And he's like, I'm not done with you. And that was John. He wasn't done with John, but John was taking the time to invest in those that were still here. And so that's an encouragement for all of us, is we're not done. God, as long as we have breath in us, we are to keep encouraging, keep standing and walking with the Lord. And that's kind of what I got through these two books that we're going to do back to back tonight, of just stand, walk, be encouraged, and encourage others. So often we can just assume, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm always going to be walking with the Lord. But you know what? Just like the Israelites, we are prone to wander. And I know that hymn I love so well, that tune my heart to thee, because I'm prone to wander. Like, we are all prone to wander. But that's John's exhortation here, is stand, stay in close to the Lord, abide, don't be deceived. So let's pray, and we'll get into 2 John. Father, I just thank you. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for being all that we need all the time. The one that comforts us, the one that encourages us, the one that corrects us, the one that is true and holy and right all the time. If we have an argument with us, with you, you're right. We're wrong. And that is just a great truth, Lord, that we can always trust in you. We can always look to you for the truth and for faithfulness, even when people let us down. Even when things are tough, Lord, you are good. We love you, and we pray that you would bless your word tonight. Help us to hear it and not just take it in and have head knowledge, but that you would change our heart through it. Help us to be women of your word, and to be a living testimony for those around us. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so 2 John is only 13 verses. So tonight we're going to do 2 and 3 John because we didn't have an extra Friday. But God knew. So let's start. The elder, to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth. So he starts out, John, he's saying basically here, I'm the elder, right? Like what we're supposed to honor our elders. We're supposed to listen to them. We're supposed to learn from them. But that's John's heart is saying, okay, I'm the elder. I've spent time with you. I love you. I'm trying to give you guys understanding and advice. And so he's writing this letter. There's different ways that people, Bible scholars have looked at it is to the elect lady, like maybe it's to actually one lady and her children, but it seems more so that he's writing it to the church and her children, because when we look at the term the lady or the elect lady, we know that in Christ we're chosen. It says that we are chosen. He knew ahead of time that we were going to either choose him or not choose him. And in all his sovereignty, it's hard for us to comprehend that. My brain cannot comprehend how he is sovereign and omniscient and all that. We know that it's truth and it's facts. And so he's writing this to the elect lady and her children. So we can grasp from this. This is not something that none of the Bible is to be pushed aside. But this in particular, it's a letter for us to grow and to have understanding. And so to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth. So he's writing this letter. He loves the church. He loves her children. We are part of that. We are way long descendants of that long time ago. But also all those who have known the truth. So if you are in Jesus, you are in the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we know that as Christians, we are of the truth. We are of the Lord. We are his. And so he's saying that I, whom I love in the truth. John had love for the church. Do we each have love for the church? Or do we kind of put things aside and like, oh, well, yeah, they're a part of the church, but they're kind of like an extra or an add-on. Like, do we sincerely love the church? Are we concerned for the church? Do we come alongside one another in the church? Because that's John's, even in 1 John, that's what he kept saying over and over again, is loving the brethren, loving the brethren, loving the brethren, and that's what we're called to do. Verse 2, because of the truth which abides in us, so Jesus in us, he's the truth, his word is in us, abides in us, and will be with us forever. So it's beautiful. We get to have the truth now. We get to walk in the truth. We get to have that now and in eternity. It's not like when we go to heaven, there's not this truth still. This truth stands, and it's a beautiful picture. But we get to have it here now, too. And so my prayer is that we all actually abide in that, and we walk in that, and we don't take that for granted. Verse 3, grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. John experienced all that. He experienced that grace and mercy and peace that he's telling us here. It's from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ in truth and in love. So he's giving a blessing here. But we get to experience that too. And we get to walk in that. Verse 4, I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we receive commandment from the Father. So the beautiful thing is he's talking about that he rejoices greatly knowing he's heard. Doesn't our testimony, especially on the small mountain, people get news before we get news sometimes. Like people know stuff about us before other people may even know. But he's talking about he hears these things. He's greatly rejoicing. But then there's the children that have walked away. And that's always a scary truth. But we need to continue to walk in the truth. Never take our walk for granted. I have known amazing women a woman that was a mentor to me for years. And when I was walking through such a hard, hard time, she was right there with me. And then years later, she had moved away. And when she came back, she wasn't even walking with the Lord. And I was stumped because I'm like, I'm looking, kind of like trying to dissect what happened. And I still don't get it to this day. But this was a woman who was right there. When something happened, she'd lay hands on you and she'd pray for you. And she'd teach you the word. And she led a mom's group. I mean, she was just so on fire for the Lord. And something happened in her life and she chose to walk. And it still breaks my heart to this day. I still pray for her that God brings her back, remind her of her first love. But ladies, we can't take that for granted. But I know that those that we pour into, it is a rejoice that we have. Like you gals that led the faith girls, and you see those girls still walking with the Lord, there's an excitement, there's a rejoice. Like those girls that I was training up and that I was pouring into Jesus, and they are stronger, and they're walking with the Lord. And then there's those that haven't, and they're not walking with the Lord, and that's so much pain. And so it's a lesson for us. Rejoice for those ones that are walking, but the reality is we can't take that for granted. We need to cling to Jesus. Satan wants us to be distracted or fall away because of bitterness or sorrow or anger or whatever the situation. Verse 5, and now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment that, as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. He had already given this commandment before, but what is it he said before? That's how we show our love for him, is when we're actually walking his commandments, to love one another, but to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. It's nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun, as Solomon said, but this is the same commandment that he's commanding, he's exhorting. Please stay in this. Don't walk away from the Lord. Continue to love on one another. Continue to love the Lord. If there's stuff you got going on in your heart that you're upset with the Lord, you don't like how things are going, take it to him. Take it to him because he knows already and he wants to hear those things. And he's so good. He's so good to speak that truth to us and be so gentle. He's so patient. I feel like we know that he's long-suffering, but I see it in my own life when I'm struggling with stuff. And he's just so tender and so patient with us to bring back the truth of like, no, that's not. You may feel that, but that's not truth. Come back to the truth. Come back to believing and walking in with your first love. So the fact that John's reiterating this again, it's much like the church nowadays, right? Nothing's changed. We still have a tendency to not love one another, to not be loving the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And so again, he's addressing it over and over. He addressed it in the first book as well. And it is impossible for us to really love one another. We have to have Christ. We have to have the Holy Spirit to be able to love the unlovable. Because we're all flawed. We all have stuff that we see in each other. I think Tanner just said this on Wednesday about, you know, we're quick to judge. Or the things that we don't like in someone else is usually what bugs us the most about us. But we see it in someone else and we can point it out so easily. But seeing, asking the Lord for perspective to see others through his eyes, the way he sees them, so that we can love on them and we can do that. We can fulfill that commandment. Verse 7, for many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. He's saying stand, like don't be deceived. There's these deceivers. Again, just like today, I shared, I think a couple weeks ago, about these people that claim to be Christ. And they're crazy. They're out of their mind, but they literally think they're Jesus Christ. And so that was happening then, and it's still happening today. But he's saying they've gone into the world, they've taken bits and pieces of truth, but they've twisted it and made it their own thing, and we see that. So he's warning, but he's saying, look to yourselves, look at you, that you don't lose those things we worked hard for, but that we may receive a full reward. Keep pressing on. Keep seeking the Lord. Stay so close to him that you're not deceived for yourself. The fact that we get rewards in eternity is, we don't deserve any of it. But the reality is, that's so sweet that the Lord would even want to give us anything. It's like when we receive a gift and we weren't expecting it. We get home and there's some sweet gift there and we're not expecting it. We didn't deserve it. We did nothing for it. And that's the rewards that we get in eternity, is all those crowns that we get, they'll be thrown back at Jesus' feet because, not thrown, but laid at his feet, because he's the reason why we can do all that we do. He's the reason why we're able to love one another and do these things. But John's urgency of just don't lose those things. Stay, stand fast. Verse 9. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Very simple. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Son and the Father. Having that, abiding, staying in it, staying put, it's a part of you, you're a part of it. When you abide in something, you're not separate. You are in it, and it's in you. You become a part of it. And so he's saying, he who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Don't be deceived. There are so many cults that teach that it's false doctrine. We have Mormons, we have Jehovah's Witnesses. Those are not truth. It is truth over here mixed with all this other stuff. And so it's those are false doctrines. And we have those people that come knocking at our door, and they're sweet, but they're deceived. We are not to partake in that. And so here he's very blunt about it and says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in that doctrine of Christ, the doctrine, doesn't have God. These people are deceived. They call themselves Christians. We see it. And those are just two false doctrines. There's many. There's many that tell you that God wants you to be healthy, wealthy, and wise, and that his blessings are, you know, all these material possessions, and that, you know, you're not supposed to have sorrow, and you're not supposed to have this. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Jesus didn't even have his own home. So that's having that understanding, knowing God's word, so when these deceivers come, we're not taken back. We're not thrown. 10, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. I know we've all gotten that knock at the door. And I don't know how you guys do it, you know, when they're coming on their bicycle or whatever with their new book that they have and a new testament and a new, forgot what they, you know, their verbiage, but very clear. It is hard to have a conversation with these people because they are indoctrinated that this is the way it is and they will not listen to anything you have to say, because I've stood there for hours trying to bring light to the situation and they aren't willing to receive it. But John talking about this here, it's like you think about in your home, what do you allow in your home? Because this is one thing, this is one aspect of not allowing those that carry false doctrine, and not saying that if you have a friend that's not a believer, it doesn't mean you can't have them in your home. But these are people who are trying to twist and turn and bring a false doctrine. Don't allow them into your home, because what are you allowing in your home? But I look at this and I also think there's other things that we allow in our home besides this. Maybe there's junk on the TV that should not be in our home, or people that are just not good influence. Maybe they're doing drugs, or you know that they have a pornography issue and you don't want them around your children. Of course, like guarding yourself. This is really what John's talking about, is guarding yourself, putting that guard, that hedge of protection around your family, not letting it into your home. I thought about just the home itself and how even the doorpost, you know, where in the Old Testament, the Israelites, the Hebrews were told to, you know, put God's word around their doorpost and have, I can't even think of the name. Huh? No, what is it called on the door? I'm stumped. Does he work at a Jewish camp? What is it called that goes on the door with all the scriptures? Mezuzah? Okay, thank you. I was thinking there was another name, but just how important, because you go in and you go out, you need remembrance. God said we're not to forget, we're to teach our children and bring that into generation after generation. But what do you allow in your home? When you go out, are you girded? When you come in, are you girded? Are you willing to do whatever it takes to protect your household? not bringing in false doctrine, not bringing in those that are going to disturb and violate God's word. He says in 11, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Not that you can't be friendly or loving to your Mormon friends. I have Mormon friends. But don't be careful. Guard yourself. How much interaction are you having with them? It is a lot easier to get pulled down than it is to be pulled up. So pray for them. Encourage them in the Lord. But they so often think, they call themselves Christians. They think that we believe in the same Jesus. And it's not. It is not. Verse 12. Actually, I wanted to share Acts 4:12. Nor is there salvation any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And that's Jesus. That's it. But when these other false doctrines it's Jesus plus this, or this plus this. And it's not. Jesus is the only way, as he said in John 14:6. He's the only way. And so if anyone else is bringing something else, then don't be greeting that and welcoming that in your household or giving charity. Where do you put your money too? I mean, there's times, I know we can't know every store that we go to and what they give to or believe in. But if we know, we have knowledge and we still go there, that's wrong. And so I'm not going to say names of places, but we all have places that we know that clearly are supporting false doctrine or evil things. And if we continue to support them, we're partaking in that. Verse 12, having many things to write to you, I do not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face that our joy may be full. The children of your elect sister greet you. Amen. But just so beautiful, John's heart in this whole letter of him coming and saying, the elder, he's expressing who he is. He wants them to have understanding. I'm the elder. I want to encourage you. I have an encouragement, like a grandpa or an uncle. And then he follows it with, at the end, he wishes for fellowship. Do we wish for fellowship? I know sometimes we come to church and we kind of, especially if we're serving, we can get so busy in the serving that we forget to just partake, just sit at Jesus' feet and just enjoy. Are we having that fellowship? I always think of the Proverbs 27:17 as iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. There's such joy and the fullness of joy when we get to come together. And I know that's why I love women's ministry. And I love other being a part of just the fellowship, whether it's Sunday or Wednesday or barbecue night, or, you know, whatever, we're having that fellowship, or even friends in our home and just worshiping the Lord and having that. And John loved that. And I think sometimes we take that for granted, that we even get to have a church. There's other countries where the persecution is so bad. I mean, they have the underground church, and we could get there easily in this country. We don't know how it's going to end for America, but you know, we don't know where that's headed. And so I hope and pray we don't take that for granted, that the gathering of the fellowship. And so let's head over to 3 John, right next door. 14 verses. Now John is writing to a man named Gaius, and another friend. It's like this guy he wants to encourage. Just so sweet the way John writes. And I don't know how you guys feel, but I like getting letters in the mail. It's better than like a present. Like, I love opening mail, not a bill. Don't like those. They usually aren't addressed to the beloved Julie Vasquez. Please pay this. It's not like that. It's like, here, give me all your money and your firstborn. But verse 1, John greets again the same way, the elder. To the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Very similar writing. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. John being an example of praying for his friend Gaius. And who knows, Gaius may have had some health issues. We don't know much about Gaius. When you read about, you know, try to find information on Gaius, we don't really know. But John knew him intricately, and he knew him, not intricately, but more intimately as a friend. He says, "For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of your truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth." Again, our testimony, Gaius's testimony was brought to him. Brethren came to him and testified of the truth of Gaius. What do people say about us when we aren't maybe seeing other people? Is there a good testimony? Is there a, "I've heard of your works, I've heard of what you're doing"? Because the Lord sees it. But just this encouragement, I would love to see, to get a letter like that. Wouldn't you love to get a letter from like somebody older in the faith and saying, "I've heard, you know, that you're blessing others. I'm rejoicing. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." And that is such the truth. I know even as a mom, when I hear any of my children do or say something that's like related to the Lord and I didn't have to prompt it, I get excited. Like, yes, it's sinking in. They have the Lord. They love you, Jesus. It gets so exciting and so encouraging to me. 5, beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers. And that's a sweet thing, because we don't really know exactly what he was doing, but he probably was helping missionaries as they were coming in and out, and he was greeting them and welcoming them. And he was faithful about it. It wasn't just like, "All right, checklist. I did this. I helped them. Okay, move on. I got my own agenda." He's being faithful in whatever he does. And that's what the word says for us to do, as do all things as unto the Lord. Do everything faithful. We should be doing that. Who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you do well. So it sounds like Christian missionaries going from home to home. They have a journey. They didn't have cars back then, obviously. Maybe they might have had an animal to carry them, but usually not. They're walking from place to place. But just the beautiful love that Gaius had, he was faithful, and then John to recognize it and encourage. And that was something I saw in both of these books, just the encouragement that John has for them. And that's for us too. We should be encouraging one another. And that's what I want to encourage you guys over the summer, is encourage. Who can you encourage to in their faith? Because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. They weren't asking for help. They weren't seeking help. But I know myself, when we've been called somewhere and we didn't have anything, but the Lord told us that he would provide, and then we got to the place where we were going, a long journey, and people blessed us. There was just such a faith boost of like, God has it. God protects. He's with us. He's giving us all we need. And that's these people, these missionaries. They took nothing from the Gentiles. They didn't ask, but they're doing God's work. And that's an example for us, that when God calls us to it, he's going to give us what we need. He's going to fulfill everything that we need, whether it's monetary or, you know, physical needs or emotional, spiritual needs. He's going to fulfill and give us what we actually need. Verse 8, we therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. Just such a sweet testimony. Verse 9, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Ouch. Totally opposite person. Gaius is so like giving and loving and faithful and kind and helpful. And then you have this person over here who is kind of sounds proud and arrogant, filled with pride, arrogance. And that is not fitting for God's work. We know that that is not, as a Christian, but as a ministry leader, there is no place for that, to have pride or arrogance, to be wanting to be put first. It is not a glamorous job when you're serving. There's always going to be attacks and things at you, but to have a mindset that you're better than, and that your way is best, not good. And so that's the kind of a contrary, the opposite of Gaius and this man. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Not a good example. That is not one of showing Christ. But again, our testimony, good, bad, and ugly, speaks of us and speaks of our deeds. Our deeds will always be exposed and reveal our heart to us and to other people. Excuse me. Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. That's what we're told how we're to be with one another. We have to esteem others better than ourselves. When we start thinking we're better than, that's lies. That's the enemy right there. Satan fell because of his pride. And so pride is never a good thing, but we need to esteem others better than ourselves. 11, beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. So there's two examples of who to imitate. And we know the person that we are supposed to imitate the most is Jesus. He was perfect and did everything right when he was here. And he is our best example. Demetrius has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself. And we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. So Demetrius is another great godly man who has a good testimony that the truth is in him and that he's walking in that way. Verse 13, I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink, but I hope to see you shortly and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. So again, just John's desire to go and have that fellowship and longing to be with his friends. And so with this, we get encouragement to encourage others. We're encouraged to stay strong in God's truth and not be deceived. If we get out of his word, we get out of the fellowship, we become targets that are open for easy to become deceived, because then we have no idea. We're not in the truth. We're not with the fellowship of the brethren who are walking that we need. It is so easy for us to be quickly falling into some pit of false doctrine and to become deceived. So just want to encourage you, is how can we learn from these two letters? We have some table talk questions to share, but really trying to encourage, you know, over the summer, as we have this long break, is encourage one another of just pour into other people that you see around. And maybe you know there's somebody right now that seems so strong, because we know that verse 2, take heed, you know, that you think you're strong lest you fall. We've all said it, I'm sure, at different times of, no, I got this. And then you fall, you know, because it is Satan's listening. He's paying attention. His little minions, yeah, that's what I always call them too. The little minions, they're paying attention. And so Satan's not omniscient. He is not God, but he has his little minions, and they pay attention, and they know what's going on. And so be careful. Stay, abide. Do not forsake the gathering. Even if you're tired, even if you're exhausted, stay close to one another. Stay close to Jesus. Stay in his word. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that you use people just like us, Lord, to show your examples. The good examples, the bad examples, Lord, that we may learn from it. Lord, help us to be women that are so in love with you and so close to you and so in your word and so staying in the fellowship that we do not wander, that our hearts do not wander away. I pray for each and every woman that is here tonight, Lord, and those that may listen to this later, and those that are part of our congregation here, Lord, I pray that you would give them a heart that loves you, seeks you, desires you, that they would not wander. I pray for their families the same, Lord, that you would help them as I see the women here. They're the heart of the home. Lord, minister to these women and so they can minister to their husbands and their children, Lord. Keep us so close to you. Keep us in your word. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.